Forever and ever, God fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God's name alone is exalted. God's glory is above earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up a horn for the people, praise for all the faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to God. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. When we were children, my mother would gather us around the piano in the evenings. She played and we all sang, mostly hymns and 70s Christian folk songs, which seems sort of quaint and old-fashioned now. I'm not sure that anybody still does this today, but we loved it. And one song that we sang a lot was, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Do you know that one? It's a spiritual, an anonymous Negro spiritual, and it's beautiful. All week while reading for this sermon, I had this song and its verses running through my head. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the little tiny baby in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's repetitive, and it's simple, and it's also inclusive. He's got everyone and everything in his hands. The message is awfully similar to Psalm 148 because it is also inclusive. Now, the word praise occurs 13 times in this psalm, mostly in the imperative, which means the psalmist is commanding everyone to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens and praise the Lord from the earth. In each section, the psalmist calls for praise from both animate and inanimate things. Praise God, angels and hosts, sun, moon, and stars, highest heavens, water above the heavens. Praise God, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow, frost, and stormy wind. Praise God, mountains, hills, fruit trees, and all cedars. Praise God, wild animals, cattle, creeping things, and flying birds. And finally, at the very last, praise God, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers, young and old, men and women, everyone and everything, praise the Lord. It is wildly inclusive, demanding praise from every part of God's creation. Even the weather is commanded to praise God. But not only is this psalm wildly inclusive, it is also universal. Everyone and everything gives praise to its creator simply by being itself. Listen to that again. Everyone and everything gives praise to its creator simply by being itself. The psalmist does not ask anyone to do anything differently, only to give praise. That means the algae, the mosquito, the snake, the moth, all give praise to God, just like the moss, the rose, the pine tree, and the church choir. Not only does the psalmist invite and call for praise, but she also explains why. Why should the earth and the heavens praise the Lord? Why should we praise? Because, the psalmist says, God commanded and they were created. To put it another way, he's got the whole world in his hands. Have you ever had an ecstatic experience in nature that helps you to understand the psalmist's perspective, that maybe helps you to see creation in conversation with God, praising God. Do you remember the solar eclipse in 2017, long time ago, pre-COVID? That day when the moon covered the sun and the sky grew dark. I don't know how that was for you, but I was so unexpectedly moved by the power of this strange and fascinating event. In seminary, I did an internship in Costa Rica, and I was on a tour of the rainforest where we gradually climbed these metal stairs to the top of the rainforest. And when we reached the highest point, we looked across the canopy of trees, which seemed to go on forever, and on a tree in the distance, we saw a red iguana, which is rare enough, but this iguana was stretched out on the tip-top branches of a tree sunbathing. Another time, I was with high school students at Ghost Ranch in northern New Mexico, and late one night, we sat outside in a field watching shooting star after shooting star racing across the sky. Praise the Lord from the heavens, and praise the Lord from the earth. Psalm 148 is a reminder, an all too necessary reminder, of who we are and whose we are. As another psalmist wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." Now, I have been preaching on the Psalms since Easter, so for the past four Sundays. It's probably more usual to preach the gospel text during this Easter season, but I have been preparing for my sabbatical, preparing myself and hopefully preparing you, the congregation. And this is a strange season when I am still your pastor and I will not be with you for an extended period of time. And we are not supposed to keep in contact. It feels very strange. And so I chose the Psalms for these weeks because these are the texts that pastors turn to in ministry time and time again. When visiting the sick and the dying, we read the Psalms. When celebrating a birth, we read the Psalms. When walking with parishioners through suffering, betrayal, any kind of deep hurt, we read the Psalms. This is the church's prayer book, as well as our songbook, and it reflects every sort of human experience because the Psalms are always in conversation with God and they never lose their meaning or their power. Rachel Held Evans wrote this book called Inspired, Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again. She has this to say about the book of Psalms. Often I hear from readers who left their churches because they had no songs for them to sing after the miscarriage, the shooting, the earthquake, the divorce, the diagnosis, the attack, the bankruptcy. This American tendency toward triumphalism of optimism rooted in success, money, and privilege will infect and sap of any substance, any faith community that has lost its capacity for holding space. As therapists and caregivers explain, to hold space for someone is to simply sit with them in their pain, without judgment or solutions, and to remain present and attentive no matter the outcome. The Psalms are, in a sense, God's way of holding space for us. They invite us to rejoice, to wrestle, cry, complain, offer thanks, and to shout obscenities before our Maker without self-consciousness and without fear. Life is full of the sorts of joys and sorrows that don't resolve neatly in a major key. God knows that. The Bible knows that. Why don't we? The Psalms are, in a sense, God's way of holding space for us. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus turned to the Psalms, and so we turn to the Psalms also. We began this little sermon series on the Sunday after Easter with Psalm 150, and we will end today with Psalm 148. These are called Alleluia Psalms, which means praise the Lord Psalms. In biblical history, these poems, these songs were written in response to the exile, which was that time in Israel's history when she was defeated and many of her people were forced to live in exile in Babylon and in Persia. It was a terrible time for God's people, but it produced the most beautiful art in response. The Psalms are a part of this incredibly productive time. And so I chose the Psalms for this time because they are an encouragement and a witness that life is beautiful in spite of it all. The Psalms remind us that God is holding space for us and God is worthy of praise. As the old song says, He's got the whole world in His hands. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth. Amen and amen.